Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, hello, welcome to Talk Manchester United with St. Louis Red Army. This is your host, Red Oldham, accompanied by Patrick Kelly. We also have Matt Hutchinson on the show and Ryan Kaz out. The reason why we started off with the Wayne Rooney chant, even though he plays for DC United now, is that on Tuesday, August 31st, 2004, Wayne Rooney signs for a world record fee for a teenager at that time, 25.6 million pounds from his hometown club at Everton. He had been the Toffees' second youngest first team player. He made his debut against Tottenham at age 16 years old and also became a full English international at the age of 17. Guys, if somebody like Wayne Rooney was coming around today, what do you think it would cost United on the open market? Patrick, start us off with that.
I think a player like him, just looking at the market today and the crazy money that's involved with football, I bet he's a $60 million guy.
Oh man, I think that's on the conservative side, but I think that's a good outlook on that. Ryan, what do you think? Ryan, Matt, how about you?
Yeah,
what do you think on that one?
Ryan, you want to jump in? Sounds like you're back.
Jump in, Ryan.
Sorry, fellas, they're up. Yeah, the market is absolutely crazy these days. I mean, obviously, they're fetching 75-plus for a keeper these days, so I'm actually going to go a little bit higher than PK and go around 85 million.
Jeez. Okay, what do you say, Matt?
Yeah, I was
$1.
Thinking around 90 mil. Yeah, $1.
Oh.
No, I was thinking it'd probably go around 90 million.
The price is
right. It'd be whatever Mbappe is going to get when he eventually leaves PSG. That's what Wayne Rooney would get now. You'd have a young kid like that already playing at the international level. He's going to get crazy money.
I think so too, guys, and especially considering he's an English international. You know, being in the Premier League, the money would be just crazy. So anyway, I thought that was a good way to start the show, guys. But let's dive right into the Tottenham Manchester United recap on this. And guys, I tell you, what an interesting game to watch. Truly a tale of two cities. The first half was a free-flowing, wide-open game with this totally goofy formation. And then the second half saw some, you know, a Harry Kane special and then a couple goals right after that by Lewis Moura. In fact, the goal past Smalling was a really nice goal for Tottenham Hotspur. But, guys, let's start off with that formation. Jose came out with a real gimmicky formation, Matt Hutchinson. What did you think about that when you first saw that come out on the team sheet?
When it came out, a bunch of us were trying to decipher what it was going to be because it looked like we were going to have a really packed midfield, and then we were talking about maybe four at the back, and then it looked like it was turning into three in the back and actually Herrera playing in the back line. Absolutely mind-boggling trying to figure out what Jose was doing. You know, we bought Herrera and used Herrera as an attacking midfielder, and now he's playing on the back line. So Jose is struggling to figure out what to do with that defense at this point. So still trying to wrap my head around what he was trying to accomplish with it.
Patrick, you know, I mean, you have some collegiate soccer experience, and I mean, you come out with three in the back with Ander Herrera being the central defender at 5'3". Man, you know, give us some insight on this. You know, what's Jose thinking about that with that formation?
I don't know. I think you have to walk before you can run, before you can start throwing those gimmicky things out there. You just gave up three bad goals to Brighton, and now you're going to throw in the halfback option of defensive formations. I was watching the game trying to figure out where Phil Jones was going when we had the ball because it looked like we dropped into a three-back set. And then Phil Jones was out of the play, so Herrera would drop back and try to play defense, and he's not a center defenseman. it made no sense to me, and it worked for 45 minutes. You got to shoot free throws before you start doing three pointers, and our defense isn't good enough to throw this in there right now. Especially
Ryan,
with the
center
backs with their first start of the season.
Most definitely, most definitely. You know, Ryan, during the Sir Alex Ferguson era, we were a 4-4-2 team. You had Ryan Giggs bombing down the wing. I mean, we chanted about that. I mean, we knew Ryan that United was going to impose their will. Is this what United has become now? A bunch of gimmick formations and trick formations to try to outwit the opposition?
Well, unfortunately, it kind of seems like that. I mean, if we roll back to the Moyes age, he was just coming from Everton, which, I mean, he did manage that side pretty well, but obviously they didn't have the expectations of Man United. But we kind of played very slow pace. Under LVG, again, it was pretty darn slow. And then again, Monday night, we played pretty darn slow, especially in the second half. I mean, first half, we looked like a good team. I mean, right off the bat, Fred was firing on all cylinders. Lukaku had a couple glaring misses. I was definitely feeling that we were going to get the better of them. But in the second half, it's just every buildup that we have is so slow. It almost reminds me of setting up on an NHL power play. Everybody has to be in their position before they can move, and everybody looks scared. And with Ander Herrera, if you guys think about it, is that the only player left on the squad that Jose trusts to put back there or play any position? So we're definitely at a loss right now, that's for sure.
Patrick Kelly, you know, when I used to be a varsity basketball coach, I would sometimes maybe come out in the first half or a quarter and play a triangle and two. But I knew that I couldn't sustain that junk defense for an entire match because it could be deciphered and attacked in a certain way. Were you surprised that Jose came out in the second half with the same formation that he came out with to start the game?
No. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It was working. I thought Pochettino did a great job adjusting to what we're doing. The first goal, my thoughts, that's Michael Jordan hitting a fadeaway jumper. That's Harry Kane's special in a corner. Jones got turned around, and it was ugly. Second goal, I blame Luke Shaw on the second goal. He was late to pressure, left a huge gap behind him that Phil Jones had to sneak into late, of course. No fault to Phil Jones, just Shaw went late. If Shaw stays, he's got possession in midfield and we're fine. But Shaw pressures, opens up space behind him. They run into it. Jones gets pulled out of position, and then Herrera is left to defend it. So the big issue that we're having, and this happened last week too, is we give up one, and within 2 minutes we give up another. So that's two big punches toward a boxer where, okay, now it's a 2-0 game instead of 1-0 game, and that's what led to their third goal was we're pushing, trying to get that first goal, and we give up the third. It's just that gimmicky defense, that whatever they're trying to do, they figured out, and we're exposed because of it.
Hey, Matt, you know, so I'm looking at the player ratings here from this game, and we're talking about Phil Jones with a miserable three, but actually probably was playing hurt. We're talking about Ander Herrera being back there, but he was a four. And then Paul Pogba was a three as well. And then you have Lukaku as a four as well. Matt, I mean, we got a lot of bad scores here. I mean, do you agree with these player ratings, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with player ratings. Phil Jones was awful, and I agree with you. I think it was because he was injured, and I think it finally got to the point where they had to take him off. Herrera playing out of position, you know, again, we have attacking midfielder having to play on the back line. Just something they worked on during the week, I'm sure, but it's not his natural place. Pogba lacked the intensity I was hoping to see him have. You know, he came out with the Brighton game, taking ownership for his attitude. And then he came out and was pretty lackluster. He wasn't horrible. He didn't make any big mistakes. But the effort just didn't seem to be there. And then Lukaku is he can be a man alone up top. He can get really isolated in a game really quick if he's not getting good service. And there just weren't any good balls coming in his way. It almost reminds me of a Jose Altidore where they do a great job of holding play up, but if the other guys aren't doing enough around him to help him out, he gets stuck alone and there's not a whole lot to do. Plus, he missed two glaring opportunities. especially the first one. There's no excuse for that not to go in.
Ryan, with that being said, you know, we're a lot of people earlier, right after the match, were really focusing on Jose Mourinho and really saying, you know, man, he's getting it wrong. He's, you know, he's losing the locker room. You know, United is in dire straits. But really, Ryan, when you look at this, we should have been up 2-0 in the first half. And I hate to bring this up because obviously we can't bring him back, but Zlatan Ibrahimovic would have buried one of those for sure in the back of the net. Is Lukaku, is Rashford, is Martial, do we have a Zlatan-caliber finisher that can put the ball in the back of the net when we need to?
I don't believe so. And actually, I have to disagree with Matt. The second Lukaku chance came from a beautiful low cross from Luke Shaw. I mean, that thing was right there. And he totally just missed, hit the ball into Lloris. I'm glad to see Lloris sobered up, by the way. He did make some incredible saves. But so obviously strikers play well with confidence. Who really doesn't have it yet, but it's so early in the season, so you really can't say too much about that. Obviously Rashford really hasn't given the chance. Anthony Martial, who I call Anthony Partial now, because sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. That's what has really been lacking. That's what I was thinking going into this season, man. Instead of a center back, I would have really liked to have gotten another attacking player, because right now, no, we don't have a man that can finish. We would hope later on there Sanchez could get in and do his bit, but at the moment, no, right? We don't have that talisman who can come in and change the game on a dime.
Matt Hutchinson, no Vidic, no Rio. We don't have Toby Alderweireld. We don't have Harry Maguire. We have Ander Herrera as a center back pairing. What's going on here now, you know, with our center backs here? You give Jose the contract, you don't give him the players. I mean, we're going to talk about, well, let's bring it up right now. Ed Woodward now, I feel like, is hamstringing Jose Mourinho. What are your thoughts on that?
I disagree that we don't have the players. And, you know, I kind of mentioned this a little bit last week, but with Bailly, I really do honestly think we've got a legitimate, good, very, very good center back. And I think Lindelof has shown moments where, you know, he's been fantastic. Now, he had a really bad blunder this past game, and you can't have one of your center backs doing that. But what Jose's got to do is he's got to give these guys time to get out there and figure it out. I think it was incredibly unfair to pull him out after the Brighton game and to not give them another start to redeem themselves. You know, PK mentioned it during the first podcast. You got to give these guys time to build a symbiotic relationship. I'm gonna use his big words. But and I was watching one of the shows on MUTV, and they talked quite a bit about this, how you've got to let the guys pair up and have enough time to develop as a duo. And if you keep switching out and throwing an attacking midfielder into the back line, you're never going to build any sort of consistency. You're not giving these guys a shot. So Jose's got to work with what he's got, and I don't think he's doing these guys any favors by jerking them out just because of one bad game.
Guys, I'm going to play a clip from Gary Neville on Sky Sports. Patrick Kelly, I want you to comment on it after we listen to the clip, but I'm going to give everybody the opportunity. But, PK, you'll be first on this. So let's listen to see what Gary Neville has to say about
United. Says Mourinho, what did you make of the way that he approached this game
tonight? I hated the Brighton performance. There was nothing to like about it. Forget the goals that they conceded. I thought there was just lethargic all over the pitch. No energy, no urgency, no intensity, nothing. The first half an hour tonight, I was enthralled. I think we all were watching that game in terms of the sheer energy. It concerned me from a Manchester United point of view as a fan, thinking those players, six of them playing for the first time, that the legs would go and eventually that would ease off, the game would settle down and Tottenham would come into it. And when Tottenham got through that first half an hour, the Lukaku chance was missed, you thought Tottenham would then start to open United up, and they did. I felt it went from being a big response with a high energy to looking frantic. And then when you can see goals like that, I mean, we're going to show the goals later on. Some of the defending is...
But in terms of the setup, Gary, Jose Mourinho is someone we always assume with control.
Yeah.
And it was more chaotic, wasn't it?
I think I've been saying this on this programme for, I think, 14 months now. We've not seen a pragmatic Manchester United team play in big games for a long time. Tottenham away last year. Arsenal away last year, 5-2, 5-3. City at home, when I thought they should be pragmatic and sit back, they actually were open in midfield. So many games now that we've seen where Manchester United have been open tonight, it's unrecognisable. I mean, before the game, my last words going into the game were, this won't be vintage Manchester United, it won't be expressive.
Okay, what do you think about that, PK? Give me your thoughts on what Gary Neville had to say in that clip.
He's got a lot right. He's a smart guy. We've given up the last two seasons 28 goals and 29 goals respectively. So defense has always been there. He's 100% correct. It was a different Man U team than what we've seen, but you need to have the consistency. When he says the guy's losing his legs, he's got six new starters in there. The only way to get game fit is by playing games. He's got six new starters in. Again, it's just the consistency that the guys need to get to play together, unless he's still trying to figure things out for the long haul of the season. But changing your lineup by six players, one, fitness will play a key. Two, it's just you gotta let them play and figure things out on their own. We did good for 45 minutes, and then we took a punch, and then we took another punch. And then we had to start scrambling. And that was the same issue against Brighton. We took a punch, we took another punch, and we started scrambling.
Ryan, what do you think about that? What do you think about the clip with Gary Neville?
Well, the one thing that really rang out to me was his when he used the word control, that's how Mourinho's teams are usually set up to play. Very controlling, very possessive. They're not giving up the ball too terribly much. But I do agree with PK on many of the points. One thing I was just thinking about, though, and this actually came up in Mourinho's press conference, was last year when we won, it wasn't about the win, it's how we played. So you kind of have to think about it. Maybe he's just trying too hard. Maybe he's trying to do the best of both worlds now, playing the United way as it was under Sir Alex Ferguson throughout the history of the club, the high-octane football, and it's just gone absolutely wrong for him.
Sure. Okay, so Matt, Where does United go from here? We have 37 games left in the season. We're still in August, for God's sake. You guys all know that I'm a Jose Mourinho believer. Ryan Giggs just came out and said Manchester United are a fantastic club with a fantastic manager. So he backs Mourinho as well. But we have the board versus Mourinho. So should we be hitting the panic button right now, Matt?
I'm glad we're actually doing the podcast a few days after the game, because if we would have done it that night or even the day after, I think I would have had a totally frantic answer of get rid of Mourinho now.
I agree. I was talked off the bridge too. So I agree.
Yeah. So, I still think, for me, if I'm going to put the problem on anybody, it's still on Jose, but I think we owe it to the team and the club and the fans and everybody to try and see it through, at least until Christmas, and see if he can sort this out. It may be too disruptive to get rid of him now. I think what needs to happen is someone has to have a heart-to-heart with Jose and tell him he has to find faith in his players, let them play their game, and help them find an identity, because we've been playing these different – I think Ryan hit the nail on the head. He's trying too hard, and I think he's trying to come out with these different tactics and these different formations, and there's no consistency. I have no idea what this United team is in terms of the style of play, because there is no consistent way of playing. That's what happened this last game. And Pochettino outmanaged them because Tottenham have an identity. We don't. So, but I think you got to give Jose the time to get this sorted out. Now's not the time to get rid of him.
Ryan, you know, help me understand this here. You know, is it the board and Woodward versus Mourinho? Is it the board backing Mourinho and Woodward feeling the pinch? We're talking about having a director of football operations and moving people over to the business side. Help me sort this out, Ryan. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's just an absolute spider web, really, when you think about it. Woodward is in there for the business of the club. obviously we didn't really get to talk about it too much, but he's made the club money. They're worth more now than ever. I think right now we're the most valued franchise in the world of any league, any club, anything. Our success right now, as it seems, is not dictated on what we do on the field, meaning we don't have to be a successful club. You know, usually how other teams do to have to win Europe and have to win the league. But there's got to be a guy in there to get some of these good deals done. We have to have a direction going forward that's just more than the business. I mean, this is a club for the fans and should be really by the fans. I definitely agree with everybody. This is not the time to get rid of Jose. Let him go. Let's see what happens in December. Let's see where we're at. Let's see how we do against Burnley. We got this international break. Maybe we do need time to sit and think about it, and we can go from there.
PK, when we go, we are going to Burnley here for our next match. And going to Turf Moor, even though it's only 25 miles up the road, it's a tough place to play. I know Burnley's not in form right now, only 1.9 so far this season, playing Europa League as well. Kind of give us your thoughts on the Burnley match, and you know, can we right the ship?
It depends how Burnley does on Thursday or when they play. It's called the marathons mentality, where you train for this marathon and you forget what's next. Was this whole week about, hey, we're in Europa, and they forget about Manchester United? As weird as that sounds, I don't know. It's an excellent
they
chance
drew today,
and a great
by
opponent.
The way, with Olympiacos. They drew today with Olympiacos. They 1-1, and which, by the way, they're signing Yaya Toure, Olympiacos is, which I thought was kind of interesting. So, anyway, sorry to I wanted to interject that. Go ahead.
No. Thank you for chiming in on that. It's an excellent opponent to right the ship with. They're a European team now. So, you know, the level of competition is there with them. It's play simple football, start winning again, and then you can start doing the crazy formations.
All right, so, hey, Ryan, the mayor, Dan Kazout, Burnley is his second favorite team, but going to Turf Moor, tough place. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, gentlemen, I believe they're out of Europa. The aggregate was 4-2. If I've got my facts right, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So, Burnley, they're in 18th. They've got 1 point. They're struggling. They've had a lot of injuries and already thin squad. Last year we drew 2-2 at home. And then if everybody remembers that beautiful goal when Martial was playing well, when we went away 1-0. But, you know, the Clarets could definitely smell a little blood in the water when we visit them. The Europa hangover, like I said, they lost. Hopefully we can take advantage of that, take some of this momentum into the international break. Just a quick point, it's good to see Luke Shaw's been rewarded for his play as of far, and he is going to England to play for the team.
I think so, too. And guys, I want to move past this now, though. I think the Burnley match is going to be critical. Guys, come on down to the Amsterdam Tavern. We're going to be out in full voice at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, so make sure you get out for the Burnley-Manchester United tilt there. Matt, UEFA draw today. Pretty interesting draw for Manchester United. What are your thoughts on the pot? And kind of give us your thoughts about United getting out of that group stage.
Yeah, we definitely got a very tough group. Obviously with Juventus, they've had a lot of transition over the past couple of years with Pogba and Vidal and Buffon and other guys moving on. It's a different team, but it's still arguably the best team in Italy. Huge club, amazing fan support. It's going to be tough when we go there. Definitely going to be tough when they come here. So I think Juve is going to win the group. Valencia, it's not the Valencia of maybe 8 or so years ago, but still a very good team. Playing European games against Spanish teams are always very tough. They seem to build their teams very well to compete well in Europe, and that's a tough place to go away and play. But it's one of those places where a lot of United fans will travel to, and so I think it'll be a good away game for us. And then we got Young Boys, which we were all trying to, go back and remember when the last time we had to talk about Young Boys, and I'm sure some people are, trying to even figure out if that's a real team. But that you know, none of these games are gimmies. I think there's a good shot we'll get out of the group. It's going to be between us and Valencia taking that second spot. But I'm excited. Ronaldo comes back to Old Trafford. He'll embrace that moment. I know he'll appreciate being back the same way he was last time he did when he was with Real Madrid. So I'm excited. It's going to be a very, very tough group to get out of. But I think if Jose can get things under control and he does well in Europe, we can advance.
Ryan, you're kind of our young boys experts. Give us a little background on the young boys.
Catholic jokes aside.
Fun fact, me and Ryan
we're Catholic
in grade school.
Right,
yo!
Right, we're both Catholic. Har, har. Real quickly with the young boys, last year they did win the Swiss Super League. When we do think of Switzerland, we think of Basel. They didn't get in there playing in Europa this year, but they did win last year. By a margin of 12 points. They've started the season out well by securing all 15 points of the games they played in. But, hey, guys, they're going to be up for it. I did my best to try and find any history. I don't think they've ever played in the Champions League. They do play in the capital of Switzerland, which is, of course, Bern. And they've got a large stadium. It holds 32,000. That's going to be I believe, our first Champions League game to start out with. So I wouldn't necessarily go in there thinking it's going to be an easy win. That stadium is going to be buzzing.
PK, you know, I looked at all the groups here, and, you know, it looks like Manchester City had a pretty fortuitous draw. I saw that. You know, I'm kind of looking around here at all the different groups. But I'll tell you, our boys over there, down the road from Manchester in Liverpool, they got a pretty tough group there with PSG, Napoli, and then, of course, there's a team out of Serbia, but those two teams right there with Liverpool, that's a pretty tough draw. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Group C looks tough. I mean, Napoli's a solid squad these days, Liverpool and PSG. PSG, you know, is just spending money everywhere. They got great players. I'm kind of excited about Group B, Barcelona, Tottenham, PSV, and Inter Milan. Group B is going to be fun to watch. As much as I hate Liverpool, they've got a fun group too. So B and C are my groups to watch on top of Group H with our boys in the red.
Well, I tell you what, Group D though, guys, Matt Hutchinson, boy, what a pretty easy group there. You got Schalke there, you got Porto, you got Galatasaray from Turkey, and then Lokomotiv from Russia. Man, that's a pretty easy group to come out of. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, none of the big boys in that one for sure, but, you know, Galatasaray is always a tough place to go play. They arguably have the best fans in Europe. They're loud, they're crazy. They almost set the stadium on fire every single game. Schalke, good team. They've been in the Champions League consistently throughout the last several years. So, but, you know, the Lokomotiv, tough to play in Russia. Any of those teams. So it's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be really ugly trying to figure out who's going to get out of that one. Those could be some interesting games, but yeah, I agree. Of all groups, that's probably the least interesting in terms of the star power.
Well, boy, I tell you what, guys, more than anything, what I love is we get to talk Champions League football with Manchester United, and we have Ronaldo coming home, which is going to be a phenomenal reception. And I just am excited to see the boys in red at Old Trafford playing Champions League football, which is where we should be. So, but with that being said, you're letting us know that we're at the end of the show. I'm your host, Rhett Oldham, along with the rest of the crew, Patrick Kelly, Ryan Kazow, and Matt Hutchinson. We'll be back next Thursday at 10 p.m. with another installment of Talk Manchester United with the St. Louis Red Army, where we will break down the Burnley match and all things United. Thanks for joining us, and remember, glory, glory, Man United.